wonder if at this time, before we turn the service over to Brother Scott, if anybody has anything upon their hearts they feel like needs to be said or done. If not, Brother Scott.
I'd like to say, first of all, good evening.
Good evening.
Thank each and every one of you come out this way. My thoughts that I've been placed on my heart starts out in the form of a question. And it's not one that I'm looking for an answer, but one that I would like each and every one of us to consider tonight, including myself. And the question that was placed upon my heart was, do you believe? And when I thought about that, and I'd said this morning in Sunday school, that's one of the words I don't like to use, is believe. Because the world has kind of twisted what believe truly means. I like to use the word trust. So tonight, the question I would like to ask is, do we trust? Do we trust in the Lord? And as I was studying this evening, I was thinking about, in God we trust. We've seen that, you know, we see it on all our money, and we had it on the license plates for a while. And I looked it up because I remember one time in the past, I looked up to see how long it had been on there, and it was a law that Dwight Eisenhower had enacted in 1955, July 11th, 1955. He made it a law that all U.S. currency would have "In God We Trust" put on it. Now, it was, I guess, before, it was around the Civil War era time that coins had "In God We Trust" on it. It wasn't until 1955 the law came out. And then it was in 1957 when the first dollar bills were made that the paper money started coming out with "In God We Trust." And there was a congressman in 1956 that said that he wanted to have it put down as a motto for the United States. Because it's very visible and clear that the United States was founded on trusting in God. And as I was thinking about that, it was 1955 when this was all coming about, that was coming up in politics and stuff. I thought that wasn't that long ago. That was about 65 years ago. And how far we've fallen from adhering to those words and trusting in God. So if you have your Bibles and you'd like to read along this evening, we're going to be in the book 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And this will be probably pretty familiar scripture with you. I think it's been mentioned a few times, and I kind of struggled with it this evening that I looked through many different ones, and the Lord just kept placing this on my heart. And the devil tries to get in there, and he's like, "Oh, they've already heard that." So we're going to try to. We're going to go ahead and read through the entire chapter of chapter 4 to get the context of what Paul was talking about. But I'm going to focus mainly on what I believe would be verse 13 through 18. So we'll begin the reading. It says, chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And forgive my mistakes, that's the entire reading of chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. And what God had placed on my heart about, do we trust, do we lean upon the Lord in the way that he'd have us to? And I wanted to focus on verses 13 through 18. In verse 13, it says, we have in the same spirit of faith, according to as it is written, I believed and therefore have spoken. Now, he's quoting out of Psalms and 116th Psalms when David was talking about, and I love this one. He says, I love the Lord because he heard my voice. And he was quoting here in the, I believe it was the 10th verse, and David talks about how he believed and he has spoken. God has called each and every one of us that's been saved by his grace to speak that which we know of, that which we have trusted in, that which we have believed in. And that if we have not believed it or not trusted it or not know it, we should not speak at all. That we can make it much more complicated than it should be. And we think about, like, if you're at work, and someone asks you a question about something that you're not fully trained in or capable of understanding, and you try to give them the answer to it, you can make a big mess out of everything that's supposed to be going on down the line. And it tells us in verse 14, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. So Paul's talking here, as my understanding, that his knowledge that he's speaking on is how God is going to raise us one day, just as he had raised Jesus from the dead. That it's something that when we're saved, that God gives us knowledge of. That one day we're going to be with him. One day we're going to be like him. It says, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, rebound to the glory of God. That it's all things are given to us by the grace of God and the abundance that he gives it to us, that it will rebound to the glory of God, that it would be uplifting to God. Verse 16 says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." It becomes hard each day that, again, and I think a lot about working. I spend most of my time working through the week. And I think about how I have a long day and how exhausted and how tired I am. But with a little rest, I'm able to, the next morning, have the energy again to go back to work and do it all over again. And I believe what Paul is talking about here is he's talking about that rest in the Lord. How sometimes we feel like we get weary and doing the duties that God has called us to do. But we need that rest in the Lord. And that he will renew us day by day and be ready to continue on. Verse 17 says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Now, Paul, when he's writing here about his light affliction, he's saying, as most of you know, he's went through a lot of things for the ministry and preaching of Jesus. That, you know, he had been thrown in jail, he's beaten, stoned, the list goes on and on. And he calls it a light affliction. He said, but it's for just a moment, which he's comparing to the time that he's been given down here. Now, I've thought a lot about that, and I'm thankful how God has revealed to me that even though I would live to be 100 years old down here, it is just a drop in a bucket compared to eternity. Amen. I'm thankful that it might seem like a long time now, but when I really compare it to eternity, it's just a blink in the eye, or blink of the eye. So he was telling here, just for a moment, it's a light affliction. But he's comparing it to here for a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. See, he's comparing weights. He's saying a light affliction. And if you take all the affliction that you have in a lifetime and you put it on a scale, and maybe even put your thumb on there and push down on it. But then you put the glory that God has promised us one day in the hereafter, the future, when we get to heaven, all that weight shifts big time. That it's a far more exceeding and abundant glory than we can even consider. And though we see it now, it's a light affliction compared to that great glory that's awaiting us. Verse 18, it says, "Why we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." So Paul's talking here about and when I started reading this, what came to my mind was in Hebrews chapter 11 when he talks about the definition of faith. And I'm very good at misquoting that, so let me just turn to it. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." So he's talking about here, I believe, is that we look upon things which are seen, which we see here in the world, but they are temporal. They are temporary. And I think we all can understand that one day everything that we have here, we're not taking anything with us when we die. That it's all temporary, no matter how long we might have it with us. I think I have some t-shirts I might still have from high school. One day it's going to be gone. It's still temporary, even though I've had it for a long time. But he's instructing us to consider the things which are not seen. Things that are eternal. Because the things that are eternal, we cannot see with our eyes. And I'm thankful that God has shows us these things in small forms sometimes and helps us to understand there are greater things, things that last forever. I'm thankful that even with a lost individual, God's able to help them to consider, is there a soul? Is it going to go on? Is there something after this? See, that takes God. I can talk to someone every day and try to get them to understand it, but it takes God for them to come to that knowledge. And I'm thankful that when he's given us this scripture, that we can read it. And as Brother Mike had mentioned earlier, you start digging in and you start finding little nuggets. So I go back to the question that we started off with and about, do we believe or trust in God? Do we believe God is capable of saving lost souls? I know sometimes I get my doubts. I think about Angie. I've been married to her for 26 years. I think we dated for 7 years before that. I think I know her very well. And a lot of times I'll be like, oh, she don't want to hear this or she don't want to hear that. I don't know her really, hardly at all compared to what God knows. I think I know myself. I've known myself for 49 years now. But God knows me better than I know myself. So we need to trust in God that by the Holy Spirit, he would guide us and help us to talk to people. That it might be some affliction. I've considered this many a times. There'll be some that will ridicule me. They may not want to hear it. They might curse me. But it's just a light affliction compared to what glory is awaiting me one day when God has prepared and Jesus has went before and prepared for us. It's hard sometimes to get our minds wrapped around that. We get into the moment of things. But I'm thankful that if we're in constant prayer, always looking to God, he helps us to understand these things. He helps us when we get into them afflictions to get through them. And I think about when Paul had talked about having a thorn in the flesh, and he prayed to the Lord three times to remove that thorn from his flesh. And the Lord's response was, my grace is sufficient for thee. For in weakness, my strength is made perfect. I think about that very often when I get into situations where I feel like, oh, I can't handle this. Or I'm not content with something. To remember that God's grace is sufficient for us. And that's what the Lord had put on my heart this evening, and I hope you all got something from it. I know he certainly helped me to consider how much I trust the Lord, and I truly consider how much more I need to grow in trusting in the Lord. And I'm thankful that he's able to speak to us that way, and if we just ask for his help. Thank you.